The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All right, Hugh Hewitt, welcome to the Rundown, which consists of the pre-rundown, the rundown, and the post-rundown, but all of it brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show, at the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement. And I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin Resveratrol Omega. Temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains. Temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains. And you can't do better than that three-week starter pack, $19.95. With that in mind, let's get to the pre-rundown rundown.
Welcome to the pre-show. As we look over the audio I painstakingly compiled overnight, let's take a look here. We got Secretary Pompeo talking about Vladimir Putin, and is not saying good things, is he?
He is not saying good things. By the way, you know, it's not just audio, it's video, too.
I know, but Ted Cruz he's saying bad things about illegals crossing the border.
He's saying it's absolutely indisputable that they're going to end up getting stimulus checks from the COVID relief bill.
So how many other immigration cuts do we have? We've got vaccine.
Oh, there's a few.
Kevin McCarthy is immigration.
Jen
Psaki is in immigration.
That's actually kind of fun because Jen Psaki started out and didn't catch herself, actually referred to what's going on at the border as a crisis. And a reporter a minute later said, you know, you referred to it as a crisis. Is that a change in policy? She says, oh, nope, challenge. It's a challenge. Yeah, I didn't say crisis. It's a challenge.
Well, we'll listen to that. Then we got the Secretary of HHS saying we will not throw out the kids. Linda Sanchez talking to Poppy Harlow. Not appropriate for the media to be inside. I think she was one of the ones that went inside last time, but we'll find out about that. Yeah, I think so. Maggie Hassan, vaccine unfair.
That's just weird. That one is just a weird cut.
Well,
Maggie Hassan is now worried about the vaccine not being fair to people with light sensitivity.
I'm less than inclined to play something like that. We're trying to get people to take the vaccine. You did get my Boris Johnson, didn't you? Great.
I did get your Boris Johnson. The thing that's fun about Maggie Hassan is she's underwater in polling against a proposed matchup with Chris Sununu.
Yeah, that's so where we got to get him to
run. If she's kind of a little kooky, I'd want to expose the kooky.
Well, then you should put a note on this to that effect. And then we've got Sonny Bunch, Liz Cheney coming along. Keith Kroc is always good. They've got a new editorial out today.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is. It's not my stack of stuff, but I will find it. Always good to have Garrity along. Matthew Spaulding will be here to do Constitutional Law 101 for the unwashed. And then we go on the vacation.
What vacation?
48 hours of not talking to each other.
Yes, and boy, is that going to be a fun vacation.
It's a lot of fun. Now, on the other hand, you'll be doing the after show, though, tonight, will you not?
I will be doing the after show. I've actually been compiling my Baker's Dozen stories that I will feed.
See, Friday's after show is why people actually, anyone who listens
pretty,
to it.
It's pretty fun.
But it's not Lilacs.
Oh, it is Lilacs.
It is Lilacs.
Oh, yeah.
Is he alive?
Very much so.
You know, I haven't talked to him since I went, not even talked to him since I started the early show.
Actually, James has a message for you from last Friday.
Which is?
He said that now that we are on delay in some markets that used to carry Rush Live, now that we're tape delayed, that James said you are in a time slot that he would be glad to join you in that tape delayed slot.
Would you send a message back for me?
Yes, I will.
The geese fly south in May. The geese fly south in May. The fox trots with the rabbit. The fox trots with the rabbit. Can you remember that?
I'm sure I probably can.
I mean, exactly that way, or he'll do the wrong thing. He'll blow up the bridge, and he's not supposed to.
I get it.
The geese fly south in May, and the fox trots with the rabbit.
Okay.
All right, we'll be listening, Marcel. If you want to listen to the after show, you got to join the universe. The universe is very reasonably priced. And if you're one of our new affiliates, you get Dwayne 4 nights a week, Thursday through Friday. You get every minute of every show ever made on the Hugh Hewitt Show, commercial free. And occasionally we drop in other extra things like connections to the interview, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So go and join the universe today and come join us at the start of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you this. There has never been a more important time to protect your digital rights. That's why I and thousands of my patriotic listeners choose to secure our online data by using ExpressVPN. Do you believe that a VPN isn't for you because you can use the internet just fine without one? Anytime you go online, my friends, your internet service provider can see every site you are visiting. You think that VPNs are complex and only for tech experts? No, they're not. Trust me. With ExpressVPN, you launch the app, tap one button to protect yourself, and it's done. It's that simple. I trust ExpressVPN to protect my online data because they're rated number one by CNET and Wired, and they stand for my values. So now is the time for you to take a stance. Take back your privacy at expressvpn.com/Hewitt. You get 3 extra months for on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Hewitt to get 3 extra months free. Visit expressvpn.com/Hewitt right now. Good morning, Glory America. Bonjour, hi, Canada, and a happy Friday to everybody out there. We are looking forward to the weekend. I am looking forward to my second jab. There's a lot of jab news this morning. Just moments ago, a press conference concluded in Great Britain where the head of the health service said the third wave of COVID, which is showing up around the world, the United Kingdom is likely to avoid it because the third wave is going to break on the rocks of a population that is large and rapidly growing larger of vaccinated people. He said, however, it is, quote, Sir Kent Woods, very unfortunate that countries including Germany and France had halted the AstraZeneca vaccine because they're going to get hit by the third wave. And indeed, 16 districts around France, including Paris, have now entered a new lockdown. For whatever reason, the bureaucrats in Brussels and the bureaucrats in France and Germany decided that they weren't going to trust the UK, maybe a little Brexit hangover there. For whatever reason, yesterday they declared the European Union that the AstraZeneca vaccine is indeed safe and effective. You wonder what these people are thinking about when so many, many millions of people have died. You really have got to wonder, what are they thinking about? Oh, there's a blood clot here and a blood clot there. 2,700,000 people are recorded to have died around the world. That's, of course, far below the number of people who have died because we're not keeping track in the Congo and Brazil and places like that. We know of 122 million cases. And so it's everywhere. And I'm personally very grateful to the people who developed the Pfizer vaccine so that I will be able to move about the country again and enjoy immunity after 3 more weeks. Another United Kingdom study, the Brazilian COVID strain, does not, in fact, defeat the Pfizer vaccine. That's good news. Boris Johnson was out and about yesterday trying to get his country. There are a few people, like in the United States, who are suspicious of the vaccine. He took to the BBC everywhere yesterday. Cut number 17.
Our roadmap to freedom depends on the continued success of our vaccination program. And so it's reasonable for people to want to be continually reassured, not only that our vaccines are safe and effective, but also that we have the supply that we need. So I want to address both points today, especially in the light of concerns you may have heard in some other countries about the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine. First, the Independent Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency has reviewed the evidence, as it does every week. They've confirmed that the benefits of the vaccine in preventing COVID far outweigh any risks, and people should continue to get their vaccine when asked to do so. And June will say a little bit more about that in a moment.
In fact,
the most important thing he could say, he said next, cut number 19, Boris Johnson, the British Prime Minister.
It's also very important for our European friends that today the European Medicines Agency has come to a clear scientific conclusion, and I quote, this is a safe and effective vaccine. We also saw yesterday the evidence from Public Health England that a single dose of either vaccine provides 60% protection against getting COVID and reduces the chances of hospitalization by 80% and the risk of death by 85%. So the Oxford jab is safe and the Pfizer jab is safe. The thing that isn't safe is catching COVID, which is why it's so important that we all get our jabs as soon as our turn comes. And as it happens, I'm getting mine tomorrow, and the centre where I'm getting jabbed is currently using the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine for those receiving their first dose, and that is the one I'll be having. And let me also assure you, if you come forwards after receiving your letter, we have the jabs for you.
We have the jabs for you. If you can get in, get in. Now, it is not my friend Ruth Marcus at the Washington Post, who is younger than I am, and so wasn't eligible. As I think she's over 60, but under 65. She just became eligible because Maryland dropped it to 60, and of course it's chaos. The states just don't know how to do this. Give it all to CVS. Give it all to CVS. They know how to do it. CVS is working in California, at least. Meanwhile, what we do not need are people raising false flags and false fears. There is an infinitesimal chance with the AstraZeneca, which is not being used in the United States, of getting a blood clot. I don't know of any documented bad result of the millions of vaccines given in the United States. I don't know of any. Go and get your vaccine. You don't want to get this disease. Even with a death rate of only between 0.5 and 1%, one out of 100 is not an odd you want to run. That's pretty high for a virus. And the long COVID is a nightmare. And the week that you get it can be very bad. Maggie Hassan, though, the nitwit senator from New Hampshire yesterday, gets on the Senate Health Committee and goes off on a weird tangent, cut number 13.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I just also want to point out that as a civil rights issue, the Americans with Disabilities Act does apply here. And it's really critically important that whether it's a telephone system that somebody who has a hearing impairment can use, or a screen that somebody with a visual impairment can use, or a vaccination site where somebody who might have difficulty being exposed to bright lights or a lot of noise for long periods of time has space to be. These are all requirements under the law for access. And it's another time where we'll have another discussion about how far the healthcare system has to go in this kind of accessibility generally. But for vaccinations right now,
we just have a discussion about you getting beat by Chris Sununu because you don't make a lot of sense. I mean, worrying about the brightness and the lights at the vaccination center is not actually America's biggest problem right now. America's biggest problem is that the states like California and New York, the red states, and Maryland, I mean the blue states, do not have a clue how to roll this out, whereas Ohio, red state, did. A couple of quick foreign affairs. Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State Blinken, met with the Chinese yesterday. Cut number 14.
China has a unique relationship with North Korea. Virtually all of North Korea's economic relationships, its trade, are with or go through China, so it has tremendous influence, and I think it has a shared interest in making sure that we do something about North Korea's nuclear program.
They don't have a shared interest with us. They don't. And people have got to realize, I had a long conversation yesterday with a senior diplomat, not American, from the Far East, who simply said under President Xi, General Secretary Xi's new timetable, they intend to reoccupy Taiwan by 2027. By 2027, we're going to be at the brink of war. That means hopefully we will have a real president by that point who's on top of the game and in charge. It might be Mike Pompeo. Mike Pompeo, by the way, is on Fox News with John Roberts yesterday. John Roberts, a fine host, by the way. That's becoming a great. There are some shows that are still go-to shows, like Brett Baer and John Roberts, for news shows. Mike Pompeo, cut number 2.
Look, it all seemed a bit childish to me. what matters for the United States of America is preserving our freedom and security. They should put America first. And we did that with respect to Russia. We tried to stop them from building a pipeline that was going to put Europe at beholden to Russian energy. We provided assistance to the Ukrainians' defensive weapons system so they could protect themselves from Russia. Under the previous administration, they had allowed the Russians to take Crimea. We were strong. We were tough. They understood those actions. Again, I want to come back to this central notion. If you put America first and back up your language with real deeds and not just rhetoric and name-calling, you're exceedingly far more likely to be successful.
Secretary Pompeo is, again, correct. Meanwhile, at the White House, we got a slip of the tongue, which is actually a reveal. It's a gaffe when you accidentally tell the truth. Jen Psaki, cut number 7.
There have been expectations set outside of unrelated to any vaccine doses or requests for them that they would be partners in dealing with the crisis on the border.
A crisis on the border. Peter Alexander asked her about that. Cut number 9.
That the border is not open, effectively that it's closed, except for these unaccompanied minors right now under humanitarian grounds for being welcomed into the U.S. But as we speak, crews from multiple outlets, including those from NBC News, are at the border. Mm-hmm. They're seeing many migrant families being accepted, young families being accepted into the country right now. So can you square those two when the message was that families and individuals were being sent home, but unaccompanied minors were being kept? Why young families are, in fact, being kept here in the U.S. And detained?
Well, we've talked about this a little bit in here before, but and we are still applying Section 42, which and with the exception is, of course, unaccompanied minors. There are limited circumstances where there's no longer a crisis.
She went from crisis to blah, blah, blah. Don't you go anywhere, America. Stay tuned. It's the Friday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show. That was The Rundown. The fact is, the internet never forgets. There has never been a more important time to protect your internet activity, your digital data. That's why I urge you to get ExpressVPN. Everything you search for, watch, or click online can be tracked back to you by big tech companies, and they do it. They match your activity to your true identity using your device's unique IP address. That's why you need to switch, and I switch, to ExpressVPN. On your computer, on your phone, every IP address is masked by a secure VPN server, which makes it harder for websites to identify me. Plus, you can use ExpressVPN on up to 5 devices simultaneously. That's why they're rated the number 1 VPN by CNET and Wired. So stop handing over your data to big tech companies. Go with the VPN I trust for online protection. Visit expressvpn.com/Hewitt. To get 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Hewitt. To get 3 extra months for free, go to expressvpn.com/Hewitt right now to learn more. Welcome back, America. Yesterday in Alaska, Secretary of State Blinken, National Security Advisor Sullivan met with China's chief diplomat. And the senior advisor, the diplomat is Foreign Minister Yang and State Councilor Wang. They met and they exchanged very harsh words with the Chinese telling the Americans, butt out, you've got your own problems with Black Lives Matter. I'm joined now by Keith Kroc, who had previously served as U.S. Undersecretary of State and Chairman of the Board of Trustees at Purdue University. He's also the guy who founded DocuSign, so I think America's favorite Silicon Valley person. And Ellie Kohanim, who worked with him at State as the U.S. Deputy Special Envoy to monitor and combat anti-Semitism, they have taken to the pages of Newsweek. I've tweeted out the article to warn about the genocide underway in China and to stop it. Welcome to you both. Secretary Kroc, if I can begin with you, what did you make of China's pushback to Blinken and Sullivan yesterday? You've got Black Lives Matter. Don't bother us about the Uyghurs.
I think that was to be expected, Hugh. I think that's classic. They're always deflecting that way. But the fact of the matter is, there is punishable genocide going on right now in Xinjiang. I think this is one of the most unified bipartisan issues. And, you know, if the United States doesn't speak up about this and do something about this, then nobody will.
Ellie, you write with the undersecretary that individuals can actually do something about this by contacting pension funds, investment funds. Explain what the individual responsibility is confronted with genocide.
First of all, good morning, Hugh. And I think the first thing that the American people need to understand is that, in fact, there is a genocide taking place today in China of the Uyghur Muslims. And when we speak about genocide, the State Department in January came to this conclusion after a full investigation. So what are we talking about here? Well, we've seen photos come out of China where you see rows and rows of Uyghur Muslims with shaved heads, and they're shackled and they're waiting to be jammed onto trains and transported to over 380 concentration camps across China. We've heard audio recordings of party apparatchiks calling the Uyghurs malignant tumors, and their religion is a communicable plague. Now, Hugh, these are the same kinds of tactics that we saw the Nazis commit in Nazi Germany, where first they tried to dehumanize the Jews, and then they committed genocide against the Jews. And so the question I think that the world needs to understand is, for 76 years following the Holocaust, we said never again. And if we mean never again, we have to take action. There is a genocide taking place right now today, and none of us can go to sleep at night with a moral conscience until we do take action against what's taking place in China.
So, Keith Kroc, why do you think American media is reluctant or simply indifferent to a genocide? It's a word with important meaning, precise meaning. The State Department went through a long process to establish it. And by the way, Secretary Blinken agreed with that definition during his confirmation hearings. There's no partisan disagreement here. It's a genocide. Why is that not getting traction in the American media?
You know, I think it gets down to one of the things Speaker Pelosi said, and that is, if America doesn't speak out against, you know, the human rights violations and genocide in China because of some commercial interest, then we'll lose all moral authority. And commercial interest, Hugh, is a it means a conflict of interest. So the media is in the same issue with regard to the biggest asset managers like BlackRock, the World Economic Forum, the ESG community, which is environmental, social, and governance standards. None of these guys have spoken out. And, you know, they're conflicted. If you look at what we've done, we have not only turned the other way, but we have funded China Inc. through our pension funds, university endowments, foundations, mutual funds, all of that. And what we really need to do as American citizens is speak out about it and actually hurt them where it counts. And that is in the wallet. If it's not us, then I don't know who's going to do that.
Secretary Kroc, I just asked Liz Cheney at the top of this hour about Representative Michael Waltz's resolution. I always acknowledge my son works for Waltz, and I always put that out there. But Michael Waltz introduced a resolution that's got a lot of support. Liz Cheney supported it to boycott the Olympics. And of course it will hurt our athletes, but don't go NBC, don't sponsor MasterCard, don't whatever it is, don't do it. Is that going to work?
Well, by the way, that is a great example. Because all these institutions, a noble cause and a high moral compass, and the Olympics as much as anybody else. So to have the Olympics in 2022 in China is hypocritical the way I look at it. Now, whether that'll happen, I don't know, because they get so much money from China, as does all these other organizations. They're conflicted. And that is why it comes down to the citizens of the world and speaking up, not just verbally, but also with your wallet. And, you know, that's one of the things that we said in this op-ed was to contact, you know, your pension fund or your wealth manager. And if they're invested in funds in China, ask them about that. And ask them why, because it's all Big One China Inc.
Yeah, you know, Ellie, you know as well as anyone, the American record vis-a-vis the Holocaust was mixed, because early reports were discarded. The State Department at that time in the 40s had some very inherent anti-Semitism in it. Do you believe that that record will prompt us to act more quickly here? And a second part to the question, do you expect Israel to boycott the China Games in 2022? Because of all the states in the world, Israel and the United States ought to be leading that effort.
You're exactly spot on about the history. And I think that's why the moral imperative right now is that much clearer. Meaning that after the Holocaust, a lot of Jews asked themselves, well, how could the world allow that to happen? You know, how did they allow 6 million Jews to get murdered by the Nazis? And the answer was always, well, the world didn't know, right? Today, we know exactly what the Chinese Communist Party is committing against the Uyghur Muslims. We know, we've seen the evidence. Again, the State Department has done a conclusory investigation. And so there's no more excuses, right? No one can play ignorance right now. We know exactly what's going on there. And so to your second point about, you know, should the Israelis boycott the Olympics, I would certainly advocate for that. I think the United States and the Israelis must do that. And that would really make a strong impact for everyone to see that what does it mean to actually take action when an entire people are being murdered in front of our eyes, when an entire people are being eliminated. We really cannot stand by silently. And I want to just echo the Undersecretary's statement earlier. I don't know that Americans understand that your average American, all of us, so whether it's our retirement funds, our pension funds, the university endowments, everybody somehow is likely invested in China. And so what we laid out in this opinion piece is the opportunity for every American to do something, to take action today.
Now, you also mentioned a fact, Ellie, which I had not heard before, 380 camps. I did not know that the archipelago, the new archipelago, Gulag, was that large. On what do you base that number, 380?
The State Department conducted a full internal review of all the documentation we have. And, Hugh, look, you're talking about 1 million civilians that are incarcerated, over a million civilians incarcerated right now. We have testimony to them being tortured. The women are having forced sterilizations, forced abortions. Children are being removed from Uyghur families. Uyghur women are being coerced into marriage with non-Uyghurs. And obviously, they're also not being allowed freedom of worship. So if you look at all of those facts together, this is a systematic attempt from the highest levels of the CCP leadership to, in essence, again, eliminate an entire people.
Undersecretary Kroc, I want to relay to you a conversation I had yesterday with a senior East Asian diplomat who's on the front line. He expects General Secretary Xi to make a move against Taiwan by 2027, and he believes that that is widely shared opinion throughout East Asia. Do you agree with that? Because I think that, like the genocide, will be news to most Americans.
Well, I think that's an absolute possibility, Hugh, and I think that's a serious situation. That's why it's more important than ever to strengthen our relationship to Taiwan, to do whatever we can to get American investment in there, because that attracts our allies' investment. And you know, just like the whole China issue, you know, the biggest strategic asset we have is our network of trusted partners. And, you know, that's what we did with the Clean Network. We shut down their 5G program. We learned that China Inc. is beatable, and that's the way to do it, with democratic values, leveraging the innovation resource of the private sector, and uniting our allies. And I think that is the same thing with regard to genocide.
Has even one big name, and by big name, you know who I'm talking about, they run the biggest hedge funds, they're the biggest investors in the world, has even one big name stepped forward to say, we are out of China because China is intent on wiping out the Uyghurs? Has one person done that, Keith Kroc?
We have not seen that, Hugh. And we're really waiting for that. I think the world is waiting for that. And they talk about all kinds of other true north issues that are really important. But nobody's been speaking out against China.
And Ellie, do we ask? I mean, at shareholder meetings, is it appropriate for shareholders to stand up and ask, do we have a policy about the genocide in China? I think that would be very effective.
You know what? We have a good track record of that with Sudan in the past. So if we did it with Sudan, we can do it with China. There's no reason not to. Again, I think if every American does stand up and does hold their fund managers accountable, we can really have a huge impact on this conversation. And Hugh, I just want to say, when we say never again, we have to mean it. I mean, that's really my message to everybody today. When we say never again, we have to mean never again. And this is the moment for us to stand up for that.
It's also a moment for broadcasters to realize when they have on captains of industry on CNBC and elsewhere, they've got to ask those individuals, will you disinvest from China because of the genocide? Keith Kwok, Ellie Cohanham, thank you so much. Great piece in Newsweek. I have tweeted it out. Please go and send it everywhere, America. The first step is to make sure Americans understand. 380 camps with 1 million people, systematic destruction of an ethnic minority. That's called genocide. Chairman Xi is leading it. Thank you both.